Brother Gene asked this morning or last night, one, how long I've been coming out here, and I have been negligent to keep such records. I really don't know for sure, but it's your second or third conference. I've been coming ever since. So, Shelby, I've had a close connection with you for a long time. Your dear friends, thank God for you. Your pastor and his wife, we cherish them. Cherish the sweet, blessed fellowship of our Lord and the privilege of laughing with you in joy and weeping with you in sorrow. It's called friends. It's called family. And I thank God for you. And I believe God's given me a message for you this evening. In the sixth chapter of Mark's Gospel, our Lord Jesus had just performed one of his most notable miracles. He fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can imagine the stir that caused. You can imagine the buzz. 5,000 men had eaten until their bellies were plumb full with 2 pieces of fish and 5 loaves of bread. You can imagine the buzz. Anxious to avoid the popular excitement to which that great display of his power as God gave rise, our Savior, we're told in verse 45, constrained. It's a strong word. Constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go over to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. After dismissing the disciples and the crowd, the Lord Jesus departed into a mountain to pray. Now let's pick up reading in verse 47. And when even was come, as it started to get dark, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them, his disciples, just sun setting, and you can see the picture, him looking across the sea. He saw them, his eye was on them, toiling in rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. They thought they saw a ghost. That's exactly right. They thought they saw a ghost. And they cried out, they screamed. What's this? For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. That's my message tonight. Hear our Savior's voice in every storm through which he sends you. He says to you and me, his children, it is I, be not afraid. There are chapters in the lives of every child of God with which this incident in the life of our Savior and his disciples corresponds. Our path to glory is through deep waters, contrary winds, and stormy billows. I think you might want to write that down. Especially you who are my younger brothers and sisters in Christ. I just met Christopher sitting here on the front row a few minutes ago. 24, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Michael, how old are you? 39. 29. 39. Man, you're young looking 39. I looked older than that when I was born. I saw him standing up here with these fellows singing, and I thought, here's this young man, and over here is Brother Stephen, Brother Lamar. They're way past 39. Our path to glory is a path through deep waters, contrary winds, and stormy billows. The believer's life is a voyage across tempestuous seas. But it is a path by which God, our Savior, in infinite wisdom, goodness, and grace, sends us, directs us, and walks with us. It is through this path, by means of this path, that He brings us to our desired haven. Hold your hands here and turn back to Psalm 73. I want you to see this for yourself. I'm sorry, Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 25. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Verse 26, Psalm 107. They, the waves, mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. One of our men, Brother David Coleman, sings a song right regularly. One part of the song goes like this: sometimes He calms the storm, sometimes His child. He gives the calm, and the waves are still. Then are they glad. Then are they glad. Oh, how glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them, that is, this is the way He brings them, unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, look at that, for His goodness. He's talking about storm, buddy. He's talking about storms. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. It is in these storms that our Savior comes and manifests Himself to us in ways that the world can never know. When we're overwhelmed and full of fear. Somebody said, I'm never afraid. I can't say that. I am. I shouldn't be, but I am. I am. And so you can't believe be afraid too. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. now we have difficulties. I was talking to a friend last week whose grandson had to have surgery, and mother talked to her. I've known the mother and daddy since, known their parents since before they were born, and I chatted with all of them last week, and I said, I know it's a minor surgery, but when it's your baby being cut on, it's not minor. And I said, you don't have to be ashamed to be afraid. You don't have to be ashamed because you have fear. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Oh, but when he comes walking on the sea, this is how he speaks peace to our hearts. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What soul-cheering, comforting words those are coming from our Savior's lips. I've said this to you many times, and I acknowledge it constantly. We have friends. We see them in difficult circumstances. And we say to them, if there's anything I can do, don't hesitate to call on me. And what we're saying is, I know there's not anything I can do, but I want you to know I care. I know there's nothing I can do, but I want you to know I care. Oh, but our God never says, if there's anything I can do. Isn't that wonderful? He never says, if there's anything I can do. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And let me show you four or five things, and I'll be very brief, but I trust God will be pleased to write them on your heart. Understand this. Every believer's life is a life marked by trouble, storms, billows, darkness, and heartache. Every believer's life. Folks try to con people into making a profession of faith, joining the church, and getting a little dose of religion, and talk like, well, you believe on Jesus, and everything's going to be smooth from now on. No, everything's going to be rough from now on. It'll be rough from now on. From youth to old age, the believer's life is marked by trouble and trial and heartache and darkness and struggle and storms. That's just fact. We are told in Psalm 90 that generally man's life is 80 years. If by reason of strength, that is, if God has given you good health, doesn't mean if you've run 50 miles a day and you ate 4 bales of wheat a week. If by reason of strength, if God's given you good health, they be 80 years, don't be too excited about that. They're going to be full of sorrow and trouble. They'll be full of sorrow and trouble. That's just the way it is. And being a believer doesn't change that. The fact is, spiritual life begins with a storm. Turn to John chapter 16. Yeah, John chapter 16. Listen to what our Savior says here. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's necessary for me to go suffer and die. Else, that is otherwise, the Comforter, God the Holy Ghost, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the blessing of Abraham, as Paul explains in Galatians 3:14. The promise of life by the Spirit of God. The seal of God's covenant to your soul by God the Holy Spirit. Now watch what the next word is. When God the Spirit comes to minister comfort to a man's soul, this is what he does. When he is come, he will reprove, the word is convince, convict the world. When God the Holy Spirit comes to a sinner, anywhere in the world, first thing happens is this terrible storm of conviction. And if you don't think it's a storm, I fear you don't know what it is. He will convince you of your sin. God will never save you till he gets you lost. God will never fill you till he empties you. He will never give you that righteousness Brother David just preached to us about until he makes you know you haven't got any. He will never feed you till he makes you hungry. He will never clothe you till he strips you. He will never lift you up till he lays you low. He will never exalt you till he abases you. He will never give you life till he kills you. That's the way God works. Read the book. Never in this book do you find it said concerning our God, he makes alive and he kills. Not one time. Rather, he killeth and he maketh alive. In all things spiritual, it begins with you and me in the dust of humiliation, naked, bare, helpless, dirty, defiled, corrupt before God Almighty. God strips us in order to comfort us. And how does he comfort? He will also convince you. When he's come, he'll convince you of righteousness. That righteousness of God established, brought in by Jesus Christ, obedience as our divine representative. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God received by faith, called the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of God being the righteousness Christ accomplished by his obedience to God as the God-man, our mediator for his people. So that here I lay. Oh, blessed humiliation. Here I lay with nothing. With nothing with which to lift my heart and my hand and my head to God and expect God to hear me. Nothing. Nothing about me except that which would repulse God. That which makes God sick. That which makes me the object of utter contempt before God. Just sin. That's all I am. Until he comes and declares, you're righteous. Now, here's comfort. Abba, Father. Oh, God, of whom I have been terrified all my life, and rightly so. I lift my heart to him now, being fully convinced I'm righteous in his Son. Convinced of righteousness, I call God my Father. And that's not all. Convinced of judgment. Convinced that God finds no fault in me. Judgment's cold. Judgment's gone. God doesn't have any reason to be angry with me ever, because Christ suffered all the fury of God's wrath as my substitute. But that's not the only storm we have. People say, well, if you were faithful, if you were obedient, you wouldn't have trouble. That's what Job's miserable comforters thought. They said, Job, you're hiding something. What'd you do wrong? What you and Mrs. Job been doing? What y'all been fussing and fighting at home? The kids see y'all misbehaving. Who'd you steal from? Job, what? You had to do something, or God wouldn't have done that to you. We read in this passage of Scripture that these disciples went into this storm being constrained by the master. Amen. To get in that ship. Yes, and he was preparing the storm. The path of obedience, the path of faith, the path of faithfulness always leads directly into the eye of the storm. That's just fact. That's just fact. Read this book and tell me otherwise. God's people, as they walk with God, seek his glory, serve his interest, believe him, live in constant storm. That's how God has arranged it for our good. Storms from our own inward sin, so that God shows us our unbelief, our corruption, our sin. And it just gets worse. Man, it just gets worse. I don't mean it appears worse. It just gets worse. It just gets worse. I have a whole lot more trouble with unbelief now than I did when I was 16 years old, when God first saved me. I have a whole lot more trouble with hardness of heart now than I did when the Lord first revealed himself to me. Do you? Do you or don't you? I have a whole lot more trouble with confusing things going on inside me now than I did when I was 20 years old. And I spend my life doing what I'm doing right now. It just gets worse. It doesn't get better. Oh, wretched man that I am. David said, I was walking in my palace one day. Here I am, king of Israel. God anointed me king when I was just a boy. God chose me above all my brothers. He made me king in Israel. He chose me above Saul, made me king in Israel. David leaps and dances before the ark of God, and his wife Michal, Saul's daughter, despised him because he made himself vile. He said, God chose me. He didn't choose your daddy. That's why I'm dancing. David's that man after God's own heart. What a remarkable man. He walked in his palace one day, and he's thinking about Absalom and Abner and all his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the heartache and trouble and pain, and looked out at his neighbor. I expect he just had a fellow in his mind's eye. Might have just been an imagination of his mind. He thought about that wicked idolater out there, that base, corrupt man who never gave God a second thought except to cuss him. And he said, there he is. His boys have never caused him any trouble. His daughters never gave him any shame. His grandchildren and grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandchildren, they all come home every Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and eat at his table and just adore him. He'd never been sick in his life, never been in a hospital. Oh, look at him. And David said, I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. And then I went into the house of God and I understood his end. God set him in slippery places to cast him down to hell. He left him alone to destroy him. And he wouldn't leave me alone because he won't destroy me. So, God, I was as a beast before you. I was as a beast before you. Believers have contrary winds and circumstances from without, and contrary winds and circumstances from within. Our lives are lives marked by storms, trials, troubles, darkness, heartache. And just as soon as you think it's over, here comes another. Here's the second thing. Though we are often sent by our God into dark, dark storms, in the midst of our darkest storm, child of God, in the midst of your darkest storm. I remember the day, got a word from Darvin. Doctors found Kathy had that tumor. A dark time, wasn't it? In the midst of your darkest storm, you're under the ever watchful eye of your ever present Savior, the Lord Jesus. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and he never will. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never, no, never, no, never leave thee. Never, no, never, no, never forsake thee. That's his word. That's his promise. Look at verse 48, John, Mark 6. He saw them toiling in rowing. for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Oh, God, teach me and teach you to believe him. The Savior said, lo, I am with thee always. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your ease, quiet, gentleness of heart, your ease, quiet, gentleness of soul, your ease, quiet, gentleness of spirit, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. He is ever with you, holding you by the right hand of his righteousness, and won't let you go. The Lord's at hand. We ought to cast all our care upon our God and our Savior, who says, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. Listen to what he said. I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be a glory in the midst of her. I'll be to my church, my people, my bride, I'll be to Jerusalem a wall of fire round about her, and the glory in the midst of her. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. Some of you know I've had glaucoma for however long it's been since I was 29 years old. Been taking drops every day. I've had to have surgery a couple of times. And back some years ago, I had to go to the doctor every 3 months. Man, the older you get, seems like you... When I was growing up, the only time you went to the doctor was on the way to the funeral home to be sure you was dead. And now you go to the doctor for everything. My calendar is filled with doctor's appointments. Well, I was going to this doctor every 3 months. Go get exams. Go get tests. Get another exam. Get another test. And I said to him, I said, Dr. Ramsey, my things seem to be stable, don't they? He said, well, yeah, they do. I said, is there any need for me to come every 3 months? Couldn't I come every 6 months, every year? He got a little upset. He closed the book, said, your eyes, do what you want to. I still stayed going every 3 months, taking the drops, going getting the test, interfering in my life. How come? Man, I don't want to lose one of these eyes. I don't want to lose one of these eyes. Oh, Lord, I'd hate to lose one of these eyes, lose my vision, lose one of them, let alone two. God says, Don Fortner, anybody who touches you has got to blind me first. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. In other words, nothing can harm you. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can injure you until it injures me. Now, what do you reckon is going to hurt God? I've been hurting. What do you going to reckon will cause God any damage? What do you reckon is going to in any way impair God? Until something can hurt God, my Savior. Until something can injure him who sets you under in glory. It can't touch me. That's his word. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. I call you who hear my voice to come to Christ, believe on the Son of God with this assurance. As surely as you believe on the Son of God, As surely as you trust the Lord Jesus, as surely as you come to God by faith in Christ, this word from God is yours. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Hell can't harm you, let alone some puny fellow next door to you. Satan can do you no harm, let alone somebody who comes out cussing you like Shimei did David. Here's the third thing. Children of God, these storms through which the Lord Jesus sends us are blessed storms. Storms of mercy. Storms of mercy. By which our souls are always blessed of God and improved by Him. These storms, these dark, dark storms, are storms of mercy by which our souls are always blessed of God and improved by Him. As He sent you into the storm, the waters come into your soul, and you may think your frail, trembling boat is sinking fast beneath the waves and billows, and you toil and rowing. You toil and rowing until you finally at your wit's end and you give up, and then you cry to the Lord. Oh, what blessings have been heaped upon your soul by the storm. I'll tell you what I've experienced. By every trial, by every heartache, the sharper the trial, the more painful the heartache, I've learned something more of the character of God than I ever knew before. In the darkness, God unfolds Himself in marvelous light. I've had clearer visions and sweeter knowledge of the Lord Jesus with every storm. I've proved God faithful like I couldn't have proved Him faithful without the storm. And the Lord's countless promises, oh, how precious they are when you've got to have them. The storm forces us to our knees and teaches us to pray. Trials bring me to His feet, lay me low, and keep me there. Faith in Christ doesn't exempt us from dark storms common to other people. Faith in Christ brings us into greater storms. And I am thoroughly convinced by the Word of God that our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Heaven will be brighter, more glorious, sweeter than it could otherwise have been by reason of the storms through which He brings us to glory. The trial of your faith, more precious than gold that perisheth, because that trial of your faith makes heaven more glorious than it could otherwise be. Now, here's the fourth thing. Be assured, my brother, my sister, that the Lord Jesus always comes to His chosen, His beloved, His redeemed at the best time. He always comes at exactly the best time to deal with the store, to make himself known in the store. And I'll tell you when that usually is. Any of y'all ever worked the graveyard shift? Yeah, me too. Any of you ever drive all night long? I mean, get in the car 10, 11 o'clock at night and drive till 10 or 11 o'clock the next morning, 20, 24 hours? Many times. The darkest, darkest, darkest part of night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it gets dark. You're driving down the highway, you've already had 4 thermos jugs full of coffee, and you just can't hardly keep your head from bobbing over. It's dark, and you're out there by yourself, and it's just dark, and you're tired. That's when the Lord comes, is in the darkest time, in the fourth watch of the night. The stars shine brightest when the sun sets lowest. And the Lord comes to his own in the fourth watch of the night. And he comes in all the majesty of his Godhead and in all the majesty of his manhood. That's a good description of it. The majesty of his manhood. He comes full of compassion and full of power, walking across the crest of the waves. As if to say, what's bothering you? As if to say, who do you think made these things? He walks across the crest of the foam of the sea, rising up into the mountains and sinking down into the pit. He walked right across that thing as if he was walking on golden pavement. Walking to you in the fourth watch of the night. When's that? When everything seems about gold. The water saw thee, O God. The water saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. None can tread the broken, dark waves that trouble our souls but the Son of God, the Savior of our souls. Oh, how we limit him. What low views we have of him, of his power, his grace, his love, of his nearness to us all the time. The disciples, we're told here, were afraid because they didn't know it was him. They didn't know it was him because their hearts were hardened. So the storms through which he sends us, by which he comes to us, cause us fear when we fail to recognize that it's him who sends the storm, who rides upon the storm, and rides upon the storm as in a chariot to our souls for our good. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. One more thing. Let me show you how the Lord Jesus calms the storm and removes the fear. Look at verse 50. They all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked to them. And he saith to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Our Savior's union with his people involves his personal control of all the events of our history. Indeed, there's not an incident in your life or mine which does not bring the Lord Jesus to our side, riding upon the storm. What is it that troubles you? What is it that cast you down? I wonder what news you're going to get tonight when the phone rings in the middle of the night and disturbs your rest and you troubled for many days to come. I wonder what you're going to find when you get home tonight or when you wake up in the morning. Arranged by God's hand. Arranged by God's hand. Not by something God does to you, Jim Nunes. By something else God does for you. It's done for you. For you. Wonderful works. Wonderful works. Whatever it is, hear the Savior as he comes to you. It is I who took your wife. It is I who took your beloved husband. It is I who took that darling child. It is I who took your limb. It is I who took your riches. It is I who took your house. It is I who took your family. It is I. It is I. It is I. God, your Savior, be not afraid. Be not afraid. It is I. It is I. And whatever it is he brings, oh, God give you grace to hear his voice and understand it is he who comes to you walking across the sea in the dark, dark fourth watch of the night to make himself known to you as you could not and would not otherwise know him. It is I. Be not afraid. William Cowper expressed it better than I can possibly put it in my words. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep, deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. His purpose are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. Oh, children of God, hear the Savior. Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God as he comes walking across the troubled sea to you and says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen.